Welcome to Glenshaw Valley Presbyterian Church on this first Sunday of Advent. A few announcements for you. First and foremost, I'd really like to thank all of those who prepared the sanctuary with Advent and Christmas decorations this past week. You did an amazing job. Thank you. It looks absolutely gorgeous, and I'm ready. I'm ready for the start of the church calendar. It's great. We are having an Advent Sunday School study at 9:15 in the library, and on Sundays, not every day, just on Sundays. And we'll see how this goes, and we'll think about adding a midweek afternoon study in the new year. I am still looking for candle lighters for Advent. I need someone for next week, and I need someone for Christmas Eve. So that would be fantastic. Everything's written out for you. You don't have to think about anything. It's just written. It's written for you. Poinsettias, one more week. You have 1 week to get your poinsettia orders in. They're $7 each, and they are red, pink, and white. And that list, that sign-up sheet is, that order sheet is going to be gone right after worship next week. So if you don't, you snooze, you lose. I also want to remind you that on the 11th, December 11th, we will have a congregational meeting to approve the 2023 budget and the slate of officers. And then the following week, we'll have Jesus' birthday party. If you want to participate in a gift exchange, bring a gift of $10 maximum. And we will obviously have a Christmas Eve service on December 24th. Did we say 7 or 7:30?
7.
We said 7 o'clock on Christmas Eve. And then Christmas is on a Sunday. So we're actually going to also have worship on Sunday, Christmas Day. But we'll do that at 9:30, and it'll be real brief. And you can wear your church-appropriate pajamas if you would like, or Christmas sweater or whatever. But we'll let you know more about that later. Are there any announcements that I missed? Anything that I should, the congregation? Kathy? Oh, the angel tree. I don't know how you would have missed that. There's a beautiful, there's only one angel left?
Yes.
Wow.
It is a girl age 12.
Man, you folks are so amazing. More than likely. More than likely because you're sitting there, yes. all right, so yes, so if you want to get a gift for a girl age 12, go see Kathy after worship.
And one other thing is, I don't know what the due date is. I guess that's up to BJ as to when the gifts are due in. That's another question people ask.
The 18th.
The gifts are due on the 18th. So the same day as Jesus' birthday party.
Yes. Oh, and they need to be wrapped.
And they need to be wrapped.
With the angel tag on the gift.
The angel tag on the gift. All right. Anything else? Fantastic. With that, let us gather together and proclaim our readiness to worship God with our call to worship. We may not know when, but you are coming to us, grace overflowing from your heart, O God. We may not know who, but your hope will be shared by the least likely people, friend of the poor. We may not know how, But your peace will transform our bitterness into cups of love, Spirit of joy. Let us rise in body or spirit for our opening hymn, Come Thou Long Expected Jesus. Now is the time to wake from sleep. Salvation is near. Let us confess our sin. Lord, have mercy on us. We are not ready for your coming. We live in sin as though there were no justice. We live in fear as though there were no grace. Forgive us, Lord. Show us your mercy and steadfast love. Lead us in your truth and teach us your paths, for you are the God of our salvation. Amen. The Lord is our righteousness. In Christ we are forgiven. Friends, let us profess our faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he arose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. from whence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting.
Amen.
Siblings, let us greet one another with signs of peace.
Like a star in the night. With your promise, we can look forward to a better tomorrow. Fill our hearts with the love that hope brings to all humankind during times of darkness. In your name, O Lord, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Let us now lift up our prayers of joys and concerns for the church and the whole world. The last that I heard, AJ's daughter Tweedy was supposed to come home early last week, but also this is a time when a lot of people are getting the flu and RSV and COVID is surging again. So just please take care of yourselves. And I know that sharing is caring, but please don't share those things with our community. And Ginny, I haven't heard from you. Is Amy back home?
She is back home.
Okay.
So much better. Thank you all.
Excellent. So praise God that Amy is back home and feeling so much better. We've been praying for her. All right. With that in mind, let us pray. Gracious God, because we are not strong enough to pray as we should, you provide Christ Jesus and the Holy Spirit to intercede for us in power. In this confidence, we ask you to accept our prayers. We offer our gratitude for all of your blessings and gifts as we pause to celebrate our National Day of Thanksgiving. May we share of our bounty with those neighbors who have little. We pray today for your creation. You entrusted the earth to human race, yet we disrupt its wholeness with violence, corrupt its purity with our greed. Prevent us from destroying what you have made and called good, so that our children's children may inherit lands and seas brimming with life and beauty. We pray today for the people of the world. Preserve the people of every nation from tyrants. Heal them of disease. Protect them in disaster and war and famine. We pray especially for the people of Ukraine, for the people of Russia, and for the people of Iran and Syria. Help all women, men, and children walk in the ways that lead to peace. We pray today for our city of Pittsburgh, our township of Shaler. Heal the rifts and fear caused by violence and racism in our streets and schools. Take away the violence and death wrought by guns. Turn our swords into plowshares and our spears into pruning hooks. Protect all of our city's children and give them lives of safety, hope, and joy. We pray today for our country. Give wisdom to those who govern us, to our president and our Congress, our state governments, and our courts. Keep safe those who protect us from danger and form us as a nation where justice flows like life-giving water. We pray today for this church. Strengthen its leaders, its minister, elders, deacons. Sustain them and give them the energy of your Holy Spirit so that they may give others new life and hope. Be close to those in our community who are sick in body, heart, or mind. As we mark another season of Advent, remembering the one who came as our Savior, let us remember too the kingdom he came to bring, the kingdom that we, as his disciples, are called to be partners in bringing. Eternal God, your love is stronger than death. We rejoice in the lives of those who have died in faith. Keep us in joyful communion with them until we join the saints of every nation gathered before your throne in ceaseless praise. We pray these things through Christ, with Christ, in Christ, in the mystery of the Holy Spirit, in the name of the triune God, and in the name of the one who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Please rise as you're able for our hymn of meditation, The Days Are Surely Coming. Thank you. Please be seated. Come with gratitude and joy to the table of the Lord. Bring the works of your hands and the gifts of your lives as an offering of praise. Righteousness, you have saved us from the worst the world can do and have promised to redeem the whole creation when Christ comes again. In faith, we offer our gifts of money and self that we may be part of what you are doing in the world, even now, as we watch for Christ's coming in glory. Amen.
Good morning. Today's reading comes from Matthew 24, verses 36 through 44. But about that day or hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. As it was in the days of Noah, so it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. For in the days before the flood, people were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage up to the day Noah entered the ark. And they knew nothing about what would happen until the flood came and took them all away. That is how it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. Two men will be in the field. One will be taken and the other left. Two women will be grinding with a handmill. One will be taken and the other left. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know on what day your Lord will come. But understand this, if the owner of the house had known what time the night the thief was coming, he would have kept watch and would not have let his house be broken into. So you also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him. Bless the reading of the word.
Please pray with me. Amid much confusion, signs leading away from you, we seek your truth. Open our hearts to the wonders of your work and the wisdom of your word. Amen. Seems like a really odd passage to start out Advent. It's the first day of the church calendar, and it's the time when we await the coming of the little baby Jesus, right? I mean, I'm looking around, I see all the decorations, the trees, the lights, the ribbons, the nativity. Why aren't we focused on Jesus' birth here? Well, Matthew is looking at an altogether different day. He's not looking at the first coming of Jesus as a baby in the manger, but the second coming of Jesus. The apocalyptic day in the unknown future when the Son of Man will suddenly return and lives will be unexpectedly and surprisingly changed. And I'll admit I had a bit of a grimace while I was reading through the passage. Apocalypticism was, after all, one of my topics of study in graduate school before going to seminary. And through that study, I've heard so much twisting of the scripture, and that twisting of the scripture really just served to oppress and abuse people. And it makes me really uncomfortable to be talking to you about it today. Because in no way do I want to twist the scripture. I don't want to lead you astray. I'd really rather just set all of this aside. I mean, there's got to be something a little more pleasant we can talk about, right? Alas, we are stuck in between times of Christ's birth and second coming, in between Christmas and Revelation, in between God's creation and recreation. Maybe you've noticed, but maybe it's likely that you haven't. Every Advent begins with one of the apocalyptic texts of the Gospels. And that's because Advent is meant to remind us of God's promise of Emmanuel to Israel when God comes in human flesh to deliver God's people from sin and evil. But Advent is also here to remind us to anticipate the day when Emmanuel will return as the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. And at that time, everything that resists him, including death, will be trampled underfoot. There's been a lot of debate about when and how the Day of Judgment is going to take place. And many people have combined this passage with a lot of other apocalyptic texts and passages in both the Hebrew Bible and the New Testament, and they use all of that to work out a literal timeline for the end of the world. They seem to think that they can do that, even though the Son himself confesses he cannot do that. I hate to give you spoilers, but none of them have been right so far. No one has been able to predict accurately the date, the hour. But I think that what Jesus is telling us here is not only are the day and time unknowable, But that the day and time of judgment isn't all that important. Now, don't mistake me for saying that the second coming of Jesus is unimportant. It very much is. That is a crucial tenet of our belief system. But when that is to happen, that doesn't concern us. Jesus tells us that the day of judgment is going to come by surprise. I know a lot of people are very uncomfortable with surprises, especially for those of you who like to plan things well in advance. And this passage must bring out so much anxiety. Because we're being asked to trust in the future that God has planned. We're not able to control or even know the details of what is yet to come. And Jesus here is trying to sort of quell that anxiety by reminding us about the hope we find when we trust in God. But what if you're someone like me who, for the most part, likes surprises? I like surprises because then I don't have to go around planning every single detail of every minute of every day. Whatever happens, happens. I can't do anything to control it, so why bother? Well, that probably also goes a little too far in the opposite direction. I can't just ignore texts like this, because it still has something to say about faith in a God who lovingly created everything and everyone with an end goal of judgment. Jesus tells us that it will be a lot like the story of Noah, where everyone is going about their daily business. The people were eating and drinking as they usually do. They were looking towards the future by marrying and starting new families. Jesus doesn't mention this because those were evil things to do, and that's why they were taken away. There just wasn't anything striking that would make anyone think that judgment was about to happen. So they were just living their lives. We're also given an illustration of men in the field and women in the courtyard at that time of judgment. And what that's really saying is that it doesn't matter your gender or your career or your race. The day of judgment is universal. Again, all of these people are doing their everyday, ordinary activities, the things that are necessary to maintain life. They're not wildly speculating about the day or the hour. And then Jesus says that the Son of Man comes as a thief, which seems kind of odd to me. And I wonder, Jesus is a thief? What is Jesus stealing? But also, to whom might the reign of heaven and the coming Son of Man be seen as a threat? Whose power would be undermined? Which strong man's house would be plundered of its property? No, I don't know. Personally, I think that those hoarding power and resources might have a bit of a reason to fear judgment. We want to look forward to the birth of our Savior, Jesus, with hope. So much more attractive than the mundane activities of today. And certainly less fear-inducing than thinking about the end times. But we are actually living in between times. The coming kingdom is led by the Christ who judges us, but also the Christ who endured judgment for our sake. So we can take comfort that God's judgment never contradicts or overrides God's grace. We can maintain hope because the readiness to which Jesus calls us is shaped not by fear of the future, but by gratitude for life in the kingdom that Christ already offers us. Above all, living in between times is to trust and hope that God has begun and will continue to transform us more and more into the stature of Christ, into the one whom all of God's mercy and loving kindness becomes manifest. So as we begin our time of waiting in Advent, let us remember our call to relationship with Christ, who meets us everywhere, even during the in-between times. Thanks be to God. Amen. Please rise as you're able for the communion hymn. I thought I was going to get away with it, but Feed Us, Lord, number 501.
With his disciples, he took the bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him. Friends, this is not Glenshaw Valley's table. This is not even a Presbyterian table. This is the Lord's table. Our Savior invites those who trust him to share the feast which he has prepared. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is truly right and our greatest joy to give you thanks and praise, O God, Creator and ruler of the universe. In your wisdom, you made all things and sustained them by your power. Therefore, we praise you, joining our voices with all the faithful of every time and every place who forever say to the glory of your name,
Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest.
Remembering your gracious acts in Jesus Christ, we take from your creation this bread and this wine, and joyfully celebrate his dying and rising as we await the day of his coming. With thanksgiving, we offer our very selves to you to be a living and a holy sacrifice dedicated to your service. Great is the mystery of faith.
Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again.
Gracious God, pour out your Spirit upon us and upon these your gifts of bread and wine, that the bread we break and the cup we bless may be the communion of the body and blood of Christ. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, that we may be one with all who share this feast, united in ministry in every place. As this bread is Christ's body for us, send us out to be the body of Christ in the world. The Lord Jesus, on the night of his arrest, took bread, and after giving thanks to God, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body, given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant." Sealed in my blood, shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this in remembrance of me. Every time we eat this bread or drink this cup, you proclaim the saving death of the risen Lord, Jesus Christ, until he comes. The gifts of God for the people of God.
Thank you.
Loving God, we thank you that you have fed us in this sacrament, united us with Christ, and given us a foretaste of the heavenly banquet in your eternal kingdom. Send us out in the power of your Spirit to live and work to your praise and glory for the sake of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Please, now we can please rise for our closing hymn. Come, come, Emmanuel. Before we go back out into the world, let me offer a blessing and benediction. As you begin on the journey of Advent, remember that you are partners with Christ, bringing in the realm of God, and that in the days of uncertainty, as the world is transformed, be watchful and stay awake, remembering that Christ prays for you and draws you into the very heart of God. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God. And may God, Creator, Redeemer, Sustainer, remain with you always. Amen. Before we leave, I also forgot to announce that there are Advent devotionals. They were being sent out a week at a time by our secretary, Allison. If you don't have a printer, there are printed copies in the back.